again, cosmos. This is really what we need to challenge the and get to in this book. The mind of the materialist culture born and raised citizen. Under the surface, we're talking that this is worldview, basic assumptions about what the reality is, that we have, all of us, and it's there as the foundation for our lives, and thereby, and thus, for our world that we live in. So we are talking about very important matters here. And these assumptions, this worldview, is not something you walk around thinking to yourself all the time, that this is what reality is. This is, it's just there, quietly, you could say, in the subconscious. And you need it to have order in your life and your world. Otherwise, you would just be completely bewildered and in chaos. You have some kind of idea what the world is that you live in. A child gets it from the very beginning, from the parents. They ask questions and the answers, it becomes their world. We haven't seen this world from the outside. It's just there on imaginary pictures drawn by artists employed by scientists. You have a subjective view always. And that subjective view is, as we are seeing here in this book, the image, the idea we have in our minds of the world is actively shaping the world. Because, and this is another one which is hard to understand for those who are conditioned, because that's what it is with this Western materialistic worldview, that how can minds, which maybe don't even exist, you know, that's how they see it, affect the material world, this world of solid, real, very real matter. See, that's kind of the very basic and non-scientific and I would say implicit world order that exists in our minds. But the reality that is becoming visible more and more is that our minds are reaching out into this world and taking part in creating it. Reshaping it. And that's going on an individual level. We can, to some extent, shape our private life. I furnish my apartment the way I want it and get whatever objects I need and want to do what I want to do. But also on the collective mind level, of course, we create societies together. But and this is where it goes, that many people cannot follow because of that materialist conditioning, that physicalist conditioning. How could mind directly affect matter? Well, now we have this mind over matter research, you could say, have been going on for a long time with lots of evidence for it to be a fact. But that's where we're moving also when we, well, follow the findings of quantum physics and idealist psychology. It's more in the mind than we thought, and the mind is more powerful than we thought to influence the physical realm. And the physical realm is more insubstantial and even abstract than we thought. And that's what the quantum physicists found. And this is what, when you start scraping below the surface and digging into the facts here, as I'm doing in this book, getting more and more obvious that as time goes by, and as science continues exploring this world, it really, and this is what happened with quantum physics, deeply challenged the materialistic faith system, the materialistic worldview. But again, now the problem is that it's very deep down there. And we are social beings. We can talk about our collective subconscious or whatever, where this worldview is so deeply and strongly hacked in as if it was made of rock. That yes, this matter, that's the real thing. If there is a God, he has to show it by coming here in material, real form. And that's the illogic behind that approach to God and religion. I heard quite a few people say right in front of me, if God exists, he has to come and stand before me right now. But these are examples of how it's there, that kind of underlying. Even if you're a spiritualist, you call yourself, or you're trying to follow some Eastern thinking or some any religion or spiritual path, which is founded on that, yes, we are spiritual, not material. Material is Maya and whatever, darker realms. It's so hard to accept that maybe this world of matter is not more real than a dream. or a VR game. That doesn't mean, and don't take me wrong, that I'm saying that it doesn't exist, that it's false, and you're trying to push me into some kind of Mayavadi confinement where, I don't know, some devotees of the ISKCON movement, when someone says something a little different, they sometimes come into that habit of trying to find the faults of that person and then immediately shoving them into a corresponding box. But really, this is important. Continue some. Well, I can continue. I hope you can hear me, because I'm making some granola here. Make another recording.